DW Africa Link.
Imagine this. You've been told that a university degree is your passport to success. But what if that path feels uncertain when many graduates struggle to find jobs and the quality of education is questioned? In Nigeria, this stark reality has led the government to impose a 7-year ban on new federal universities, polytechnics and colleges, citing overcrowded schools, limited resources and declining standards. This is not just a policy change, it's a call to action. What does this mean for young people dreaming of a better future? And can the government ban cure the intense competition or craziness for university education among Nigerian youths? These are the urgent questions we need to address, and that's what I want us to discuss. My name is George Okachi, and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
Nigeria's federal government says it is focused on reversing the decline in academic quality at the tertiary level. The education ministry admits that poor infrastructure and the staffing shortages pose a bigger challenge than simply increasing access. Millions of students study across Nigeria, Africa's most populous nation, but resources remain stretched thin. This is a key reason behind the decision to hold the new federal universities for now. To explore this further, I will be speaking with educationist Claire Ohunayo and our correspondent Ben Shemang. But first, let's hear what Nigerians have to say about the ban.
I think the ban by the president on establishment of new universities is well placed. Let's manage what we have first before establishing new ones.
The infrastructures that they have is not enough. What are the practical aspects that we are giving the students? What are the equipment that is available for them to work with? We are talking about research. How good, how thorough your research is. Everything still boils down to, you know, the infrastructure and the equipment, you know, to be available in such a university.
Nigerian universities are not result-oriented. They are just certificate-oriented institutions. I personally am an agricultural student, master's agricultural student. I am not interested in get certificate and go. If you check Nigeria today, Nigeria youth are more interested in Yahoo rather than the education itself. It is better to create quality graduates rather than just hatching certified people who cannot create any job and at the end of the day even running outside the country because the environment is not healthy enough. I support the president on this one. Thank you very much.
Well, Claire, most Nigerians we've spoken to support the government's decision. And what has resonated from the voices we've just heard is that people want quality over quantity. But first, let us establish the evolution of tertiary education in Nigeria. What has driven the rapid expansion?
Tertiary education in Nigeria actually started with the establishment of the University College Ibadan in 1948. Some years later, other universities were also established across different places in Nigeria in order to spread the reach of tertiary education across the nation. And today, from the statistics shared by the Minister of Education, we actually have 72 federal universities, but we also have many other universities established by the states. Currently, we have about 36 states in Nigeria, and in almost every state, there is at least one state university and very likely one or two federal universities, depending on the states. We also have colleges of education. We have polytechnics spread all over the country. And I believe that this is all in a bid to meet the demand for education.
Well, it's all been in a bid to meet the growing demand for education, and that need had to be met. But Claire, why has this noble cause dented the quality and standards of Nigerian universities? And how would you characterize the quality?
Well, for me as a person, it's been a long time since I was in a university. I finished my first degree in 1990, and then the the second degree in 2000. But from my general observations, of course, I've gone to the universities over the years, maybe to see cousins who are in school or attend graduations or something, or go there for one meeting or the other. So the universities, in terms of quality, I'd say what is going on in the universities and other tertiary institutions is a reflection of what is going on in Nigeria generally. You find that as the students are not really interested in getting education for the sake of making themselves better, improving on their knowledge, probably acquiring skills, but because the trend in Nigeria is that certificates matter.
Of course, Claire, certificates should matter. I personally feel proud of some that I have, and I'm sure Ben and yourself are equally proud. I'll bring Ben into this conversation shortly. But Claire, what's wrong with having the desire to earn a certificate?
A lot of people just want to get that certificate at any cost. They might not even think of the reasons why they are pursuing that course they are pursuing. A lot of the time, they might even just take a course because it's the course that is available or that they have been able to get admitted to.
But would you say it's the fault of the students?
It's not just their fault. There's the infrastructure. We have infrastructural problems. We have issues with equipment. There's so many things. Even, you know, even the staff, you find that the conditions of service for the staff, both the academic and the non-academic, is not up to par. So you find that regularly there are issues, you know, between them and government, and you find that there's regular strikes. So whether it's academic staff or non-academic staff, students get affected, studies get affected. And I think these are all the things that are contributing to the quality of the educated that we see coming out of our tertiary institutions today.
Ben, do you share the same sentiments?
Yes, I do share the same sentiments like Claire, and even more. Because being in I've worked for the civil service. I'm over 60 years now, having retired. But you see, when students do come in from universities, either for National Youth Service, which is compulsory, you just realize that they are not given the stuff as to what they have been trained or the certificates they claim to have. You find out that they have all sorts of very high degrees, high classes, top first class or whatever. But when it comes to plotting that kind of class of degree to the work on ground, you just see that it's just not there. And so again, you trace that to lack of a teacher quality in some cases. You also trace that to lack of a seriousness on the side of the students. The facilities are not available. In some cases, there are more students in lecture halls than the seats available. You find some seated, some even on windows to take lectures. So at what point, how can they learn under that situation?
Well, that's a difficult question, but I can tell you that many of us have gone through the experience of fighting for a seat in an overcrowded lecture hall, hoping our degree would mean something at the end of it all. Is it the same hope among Nigerians, or they are just worried about the jobs, Ben?
Employability, when you even finish the university, everything is so theoretical. People are now talking of what you can lay your hands on and create something. University should just be something like it makes you wiser. But it does not follow that if you read accountancy, you must be one accountant in Ministry of Finance, or you find somebody. So a whole lot of things that the government looked at and simply said, look, we cannot go on creating universities and creating universities. In fact, the Minister of Education said, proliferation of universities. That's what Tunji Alausa calls it.
Claire, the proliferation of universities is a big issue. But let's not only talk about the problem. Let's explore some solutions, Claire. You are an expert in the education sector. The government has shared their plan, but do you have alternative ideas for solutions?
Okay. In my opinion, I think that We could do a plan that has phases of implementation. Make sure that they are working and that they will be they will stand the test of time, and that they will they are actually, you know, the foundation is laid for sustainability and continuity. So, for instance, when it comes to do when it has to do with infrastructure, facilities, and so on, I believe that right now things are expensive, but we already have some things on ground in many of these universities. For instance, I attended the University of Jos in, you know, back then. There are already things on ground, the infrastructure, a lot of the infrastructure is already there. So probably what needs to be done is upgrade some of these facilities, bring them to this century. You know, don't leave them behind at, you know, back in the 20th century when these universities were established. Bring them into this century, bring them up to date with things that, you know, that are going on, things that will help students learn better, get valuable education. Also, I am thinking that we even need to reconsider our curriculum.
Well, I like your point about upgrading facilities to align with the current realities. How would that look? And first, let me ask you, at the University of Jos, where you studied, which course did you take?
Okay, I was in Faculty of Arts and I studied linguistics.
So how can we improve facilities in, say, the Faculty of Arts so that current students, such as those studying linguistics, feel confident that their certificates hold value?
We need to have a well-equipped language lab. We actually had a language lab back then, but it didn't have everything we needed to actually develop the skills, you know, practicalize what we're learning theoretically. For instance, many of us in our class ended up not following up on our course. We all went into different things. Along the line, we found that probably some of the things we learned were useful, but it wasn't as if we deliberately set out knowing that we'll be able to use some of the things we learned in linguistics. Because for us back then, linguistics seemed to be just something for people outside, not for our society as we knew it back then. And I'm not sure it's any better today. You know, we paid a visit to our school last year as part of a celebration of our anniversary. And I won't say that there's been much improvement in terms of facilities. I know of a student who was studying computer engineering some years ago in a public university. She said she had never seen a computer in school.
But
that
still
she
doing
only
computer
sees it
engineering.
In the textbook. Yeah, exactly. You know, fortunately, she was also working and studying part-time at that time. So she had a computer in the office. That was what was, you know, helping her to, this was back in, let's say 2009, 2010. But from all I hear, things haven't really gotten better.
Ben, let me hear from you. What infrastructural and academic facilities define a well-functioning Nigerian university campus today?
In terms of infrastructure, like Claire is saying, you see labs. When you're talking of engineering, for example, where are the technical aspects, the things that will help in terms of, say, automobile department, what they're supposed to be doing? If you're talking about ICT, for example, department, cyber crimes, where are the labs? Where are the things that you use to teach students on how to even monitor crimes or monitor crime activities via the internet, for example? Those things are not there. You're training doctors, the doctors, where are the labs? Where are the teaching hospitals? Are they well equipped to also even manage some of these things, you know? So that's why government is saying there are just some glorified secondary schools in some places, like the unions will say. Said, Let us have lean universities, not many of them, but you now have quality education, so to speak.
A leaner number of institutions to ensure quality education. That's well put, Ben. And of course, that is the point the government is making also. And Claire, you've seen the proposal in the 7-year ban. Do you think it's solid enough to transform higher education in Nigeria?
They talked about what they hope to achieve during the period of the 7-year ban. And then these include to channel resources to upgrade facilities, to hire qualified staff, and to expand the carrying capacity of existing institutions. So the government seems to actually have a good idea of what is going on, because even the reasons for declaring the moratorium are very real. You know, they are not fabricated. These are actual facts, and they are things we see, you know, we can actually verify, you know. So the goals are quite laudable. But then, you know, there's a problem we seem to have in Nigeria. We have good ideas, we have good policies. When it comes to implementation, that's where the problem starts. It's either maybe somebody decides that, okay, I can tweak the implementation, or I can decide to do it another way, do this part and not do the other part, cut corners here and there, and that kind of thing, you know, place someone or the other at an advantage in this area.
So how do we ensure that those who might try to cut corners won't derail this reform agenda?
You know, so far, many of us Nigerians right now, we don't seem to be fans of the current government, but from all indications, the government is methodical about what the decisions that are made and the policies that they bring up to implement. So I would say all of the time, the road to success is tough, and it will take a lot of patience, a lot of cooperation, a lot of maybe looking at things different from the way we've looked at them in the past, and even giving the government a chance to do what they have said they will do. And then another problem I see is that, you know, this government has just 2 years to go till the end of its term. We're going to the polls within the next 2 years. And if perchance a different government comes in, it's quite possible that what has been put in place now may not continue, because that's the tendency we have. So I really hope that the government will stick, you know, keep its word, you know, actually do what they have said they will do, and that we as Nigerians will give this plan the chance to succeed by doing whatever we need to do.
Now, to you, Ben, how have students reacted to this ban? I'm sure it affects many of them.
Yes, you see, Judge, sometimes, in fact, not sometimes, every year students sit for entry examinations. And, of course, they usually are around 2 million, those who sit for what you call joint admissions and matriculation examination. And in the end, how many people get admitted? Quite a lot are left just loafing around. So some parents are worried. The young are also worried that their future is being toyed with. I asked some students in University of Abuja, and they said, look, they are fortunate they are already admitted. But what about their younger ones who are aspiring to be like them in universities? Now they say there is a moratorium. Therefore, there's going to be no more new universities that will absorb some in case the federal government fails to get to admit them, the state government fails to admit them, private universities are too costly. So where do they go to? People are worried here. Even though when you now meet some lecturers, some will just say, the time to do a rethink has come, because we keep on churning out students without grooming them to be employable. You just see that. Yes, we have them with nice certificates, but they cannot just fit in many places. So it's a kind of a divide. Some are saying yes, some are saying no.
And Claire, you appreciate that some don't support the government's move. Also, many Nigerian parents are now sending their children abroad for studies.
You know, some have the money, but a lot of people don't have the money. You know, they have to sometimes sell property, get loans, you know, different things to make up the school fees abroad. That if I can just make this sacrifice and be sure that my child will come out with a degree, my child will have the skills, you know, will be able to practically apply whatever they've learned, you know, let me make this sacrifice. That's why you find a lot of parents sending their children abroad. And sometimes when you compare it to the cost of sending them to private universities, you know, well, in the prior to maybe about 2-3 years ago, the costs comparable to sending them to universities within Nigeria was, you know, comfortable enough for them to say, okay, let them go abroad instead of going to a private university in Nigeria. Maybe if they go abroad, their certificate will be more marketable. They will be more marketable. They will, you know, they will be able to defend whatever qualifications they have. But recently, with the rise in the value of the dollar, you know, against the naira, it's become, you know, the difference has become very much. So I'm sure that more parents are now opting for the private universities in Nigeria because those sacrifices they would have been making to send them abroad, they will now be making those sacrifices to go to the private universities in Nigeria.
Finally, Claire, before I let you go, do you think enough awareness has been given to prospective students to help them understand that higher education is not just about getting certificate?
The Nigerian educational system actually does give room for the fact that it's not everybody that needs to go to a university. It's not all skills that can be learned in a university, that there's a need for different types of institutions to cater to different needs of learning and skill acquisition. But the problem is that we still glorify the university education. And that is why it seems like the government is saying one thing, but everyone seems to be promoting another thing. And then, you know, the current generation of youngsters we have, the younger Gen Zs who are just leaving school, a lot of them actually seem to have lost interest in education. And that's because of what they have seen ahead of them. They see their older siblings, they finish school and they don't have really anything to do. The ones that are doing something are the ones that have developed other skills. Maybe they've learned to, some technical skills, learned some artisans skills. They are making hair, doing tiling, furniture work. Those are the people, those are the youngsters that are actually able to sustain themselves. The ones that are depending on university education, many of them don't have jobs. So the younger Gen Zs now will now tell you, no, I don't want to go to a university. I'd rather go and learn what I'm interested in from now. So many of them are opting for other skills rather than to go to the university to acquire education that will not take them forward.
Very well, Claire and Ben have hammered on the growing need to improve the quality of higher education in Nigeria.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
Now, the challenges facing Nigerian education mirror those across Africa. Balancing access and quality, managing resources, and preparing young people for the future. What do you think of this ban? Will it help fix Nigeria's tertiary education woes or hamper opportunities for millions of young people? Your voice matters in this conversation. Let us know on our Facebook page, DW Africa. We are eager to hear your thoughts and the experiences. You can also listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe and follow DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. I am George Okachi, and thank you for being part of this conversation on Africa Link, where we are committed to bringing you the stories that matter, like Nigeria's university ban and its implications. Stay tuned for more insightful discussions.
DW, made for minds.